Okay, since we're talking about Air Bud this week, I'm sitting down with the coach of the Denver Storm Drains, Tanya Carlisle. How's it going, Tanya?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. You're very welcome. And tell us about your team, which won the championship last year.
Our team won the championship last year. We have a lineup of all-star players. It's kind of like not even fair at this point, but I'm not complaining.
And who's your star player, would you say?
A star player is a marsupial named Steven.
And what makes Steven so special?
Well, apart from the fact that we've got a koala on the court, absolutely on a terrain that is unfamiliar to their species, unlike all the other animals we have on the team, he gets in there. You know, he's humble, he's stoic.
Yeah.
He doesn't show emotion.
Right.
And he's an enigma, but that's what gets him those points.
Now, you're facing the Denver Trasheteers this week. And are you scared about Tony Peacock coming in and dunking all over your ass?
Yeah, because he can fly. And a lot of people don't know that, is that peacocks can fly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's an unfair advantage in the game. And I feel like that's something that the league needs to discuss at a higher level.
Yeah.
It's a systemic problem that I myself as one individual can't fix. Me as a humble Weimaraner dog, I can't fix that.
Well, I thank you so much. Here's a treat. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Well, bad science. Did the movie get it right? Bad science. Or will we have to fight?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bad Science. I'm Ethan Edinburgh, and today we're talking about the greatest movie ever made that is about a basketball-playing dog. It's Air Bud, 1997's Air Bud, and I'm here with two absolutely phenomenal guests. First, we have an actor-writer from Off Book, the improvised musical podcast. It's Zach Reno.
Why, hello, Ethan.
Hello, Zach.
So happy to be here.
So happy to see you again. It's been too long.
It's been over a month.
And that's unacceptable.
How did we get
book.
Through it?
I don't know. I'm suffering.
We'll leave the audience to just imagine what our last interaction was.
Okay,
a hint,
cool.
It was a romantic cruise.
Oh, very specific, actually. I don't have to imagine much else.
No, that's it.
And joining us is an animal expert and exotic animal veterinarian from the Animal Planet show, Evan Goes Wild, Dr. Evan Anton.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Evan, are you back from another wild trip of yours? I know you've been to every corner of the planet.
I've been around a little bit. Yeah, I actually just got back from Uganda.
Wow.
About a week ago. So I was doing giraffe translocation out there, and we were taking giraffe from Murchison Falls National Park, which has a decent population, and transporting them to a totally different reserve in another part of the country called the Pianupe Wildlife Reserve.
To see if they could find their way back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just like Bud. No, so Uganda's ecosystems are all recovering. They're missing entire groups of species in different parts of the country, and the giraffe play a very vital role in the ecosystem as a mega herbivore and a high browser, and they can affect the ecosystem all the way down to the insects, and they affect the flora and the vegetation and everything too. Anyway, so we wanted to spread get these giraffe out, get them to a place where they belong, where they haven't been for 40 years.
Wow.
The Lord's Resistant Army killed them off for bushmeat in the 80s and 70s. And so we're just trying to, get that ecosystem in check. And we don't want to have all our eggs in one basket. And so, having all the giraffe in one place, if something political happens or disease spreads,
bad idea,
then that's all our giraffe. So we want to get them in other parts of the country.
Mega herbivore is an incredible term.
Isn't that fun?
Does that just mean like a really big herbivore?
Yeah. So elephant would be another mega herbivore.
There's mega
carnivores.
Sure.
It's like crocodiles. And big sharks are mega carnivores.
Wow. Yeah. Fascinating.
And mega omnivores, I assume.
Yeah, or I guess a bear would be a nice mega omnivore.
Do bears eat plants?
Technically they do eat some berries and plants material.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some species do more than others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some berries are named after bears.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Okay.
That's true. Because things are named so bears eat berries, so they're called bears. Seagulls eat the sea, so they're called seagulls.
I was going to say seeds, but
Nope, they eat ocean water.
I got to back you up. There's seagulls actually not the appropriate term for that bird.
Okay.
What?
They're a gull.
There are gulls.
There's gulls.
Just a gull.
It's kind of a common name discrepancy thing.
Because they
a lot of
live by the sea?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Because there's a bunch of types of gulls, right?
Yes, exactly. I still call them seagulls personally, yeah.
Desert gulls. I'm just taking guesses.
Yeah, mountain gulls.
Mountain gulls?
Yeah, cloud gulls, jungle gulls.
Wow.
I'm just making these up at this point. But I'm sure they have them.
They're all good. They're all very good.
They're all beautiful.
They feel like the Pokemon versions of gulls. Yeah. I just know where they are.
I wanted to, you brought up bears, and I saw a clip from one of your episodes where you were at the bottom of Machu Picchu, and you were feeding a bear named Josie this bottle that looked like a large water bottle, and she like took off the cap by herself and drank it herself, and it was just absolutely amazing.
She's
and it looked
incredible.
Like you were very connected to that bear as well.
I love Josie, man. She was a super sweet bear. So that bottle actually had some medications in it, but then we diluted down with like a nice fruit juice, hence the omnivore. Mm. So they like that stuff.
A mega omnivore.
A mega omnivore, yeah. This is the only bear species native to South America, by the way. Andean bear. Yeah, the spectacle bear, Andean bear. And so she came from captivity. She's not a candidate. That's good for being released back into the wild. So she's in this big semi-wild space. So she kind of does her own thing. She's got a huge space. She's very happy, but she's still a little bit dependent on people and caretakers.
Wow. Okay. Yeah I got to send you this thing. It was such an incredible...
This bear? Send me the bear.
I'm going to send you a bear,
Zach. It's
good
to be where it is.
No, you're a good friend of mine.
Just heard that it's in a good place where it needs to be.
You're going to love her.
It's good. I mean, I'll take it.
You deserve it. You're
a good
guy.
If someone sends me a bear, I'm not going to send it back. I love, I'll stop my life and learn to take care of this bear.
Okay, good.
My cats are not going to be happy about it. I will tell you that.
So wait, let's talk about that as well, because I learned just now that you have three cats.
I do. I have two that have lived with me for a while and one that we found under a bowling alley that is like living with me now.
Okay, so what are their names? And then I have follow-up questions.
Okay, their names are, the first one is Magellan. He's a big orange cat. The second one is Boo. She is a small gray cat. And the third one is Smoggy, and he's like a six-month-old black cat.
Oh. Smoggy?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
From my brain when we came up with names for him.
Okay, great. So my question there, as it relates to Air Bud, and I do want to get your take on the movie. We will speak of Air Bud in depth.
Yes, for your science podcast.
Yes, we will talk about Air Bud for all these science heads out there.
Good.
Bad scientists.
Everyone's wondering, does the science of Air Bud check out?
Can dogs play basketball or not? They find Air Bud as like a stray in the movie, and he kind of just takes him in. He gives him a bath, brushes his teeth, etc.
Takes off his clown costume.
Takes off his clown rags. So what did you do when you found Smoggy is the bowling alley cat?
Yeah, so he was trapped behind like a guardrail in an underground parking lot, and he was like very young at the time. We heard him. We didn't see him. He was just like, he was like mewing, and he was like trapped inside a car.
Mewing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is that like what kittens meow sounds like?
I guess so.
Okay. I'll take it.
Heard of it either.
Like, he was mewing, meowing. He was meowing. He was cat sounding.
And you heard him in between strikes? Or how did
I never got into, I was going to a birthday party at a bowling alley. Never got to the birthday party. The parking garage. Found, like, heard this kitten. The guys at the bowling alley helped us, like, pry the rail back.
Wow. He was fully stuck under there. Huh?
Yes. And then he like bolted, jumped, made a break for it. I caught him in midair in a towel.
Oh, nice.
Wrapped him up and we got in the car and drove him home and spent the night trying to get like a bunch of fleas, as many as we could, off of him.
Oh, wow.
He was just like covered in fleas.
Sure.
And then the next day we took him to get to like a rescue that could get like a medication. They were like, and he'll take this and they'll all be dead from him in an hour. And we just, and then I've been sort of like bringing him back to health from there.
Wow, unbelievable.
How long ago was that?
He's been with us for like 2 months now. Nice. He was like super underweight, but they thought like because his eyes had already changed color, because all kittens are born with blue eyes, and then as they get older, they change to whatever color they're going to be.
Oh my God.
Sometimes they stay as blue, but I think they're mostly all blue. But so they had already changed, so they knew he was X age, even though he was very, very, very small.
Man,
and like had clearly been like living on garbage.
Is that the move? Like when you find either stray cat or a stray dog to, you know, take them, I don't know, to a clinic?
Yeah, I would do that pretty much immediately. Get them to, you know, your local vet if it's an animal that you're interested in potentially keeping for yourself.
Okay.
Or a rescue if you want them to find out.
He didn't do that in the movie.
Yeah.
Have a problem with that?
Well, he found a purebred golden retriever. Yeah, but yes, he did not. Also, the mom. So the shot in which they find this dog, there's this dog like on a crate in the back of a truck just like rattling around, which already like makes me so nervous.
Yeah.
It was probably supposed to be funny at the time, but like,
I know.
Watching
I don't know
now,
if they would do that now. It's been over 20 years. I don't know.
For
if
sure
they
can. And I couldn't tell if there was actually a dog in the back of that, but you absolutely could not do that on a film shoot today.
Right.
Yeah. The big crate, because it's a golden retriever, it's a big dog, it's like a big crate, falls off onto the road.
Yep.
One car just like fully ignores it and drives by, the moving van.
Yep.
Then the mom's van stops short of it almost, but does hit it.
Does hit it.
And then she's like, there's a box in the middle of the road. Like she's never seen a pet carrier before. Doesn't investigate what it is.
Yep.
The hitting of the car opens the gate.
Yep. Because that makes sense.
Everyone's open who's opened this knows, like, again,
just
not,
kick
a,
it.
Not
impact,
a chance.
Impact.
Yeah.
Impact.
Yeah. And then they just drive away. It was the hit and run of finding an animal in the middle. It's like supposed to be like a sort of funny, like goofy action comedy montage moment scene.
Right. No, I feel like it does translate a little differently.
It's
not sad compared to
97. It's just sad. A lot of this is like not...
It was kind of brutal.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the dude is like abusive to the animal, and he's a villain, like the clown that owns this...
The evil clown. And I kind of just felt bad for that guy, too. His life just looked
His life is garbage, but like he's making his own decisions.
He is.
Also, learn your craft, clown. That guy doesn't know shit. He can't juggle. He couldn't do any of the clown.
For sure.
That being said, he's obviously trained that dog to do some pretty incredible stuff.
Hey,
you got to give him credit there, if he's the one that trained the dog.
Yeah, which ostensibly he is.
And based on his clown salary, I don't think he could pay for a dog that was trained like that.
No, for sure
I'm assuming he put that work in.
But here's a very weird moment. When you, there's a scene later in the movie when he's like, that's my dog. And then he's looking around. He's like, that's my dog. And he sees some blue pink. And he's like, Blue. The name of the dog is Blue. As if he has never named this dog.
They made
all
it very
the time
clear.
And then he immediately pulls out papers for the dog.
Which would have a name
on it at some point. It's a wild plot hole in this movie.
Yeah, definite loophole.
This dog doesn't have a name. He's also calling it Mutt. The clearest, like, purebred golden retriever you've ever seen.
Yeah, should have probably given him a name many years ago.
I hate that clown. I hate that villain of that children's movie. They did a good job.
They did. I already didn't like clowns as a kid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of eked out by him.
Yeah,
and then if I saw that, I'd be like, it would just confirm all my clown suspicions.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. Evan, doctor, you...
You can call me Evan.
No, doc.
Dr. Evan.
Dr. Anton, you had not seen Air Bud before when? When did you watch it?
Literally last night.
Last night.
I wanted to be super fresh.
Yeah. So, incredible to me that you've never seen it. What did you think of this movie as a grown adult?
Okay, so I was expecting it to be... to be honest, like outside the doctor perspective, it had like a better story and a better... you know, plot line to it than I expected.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the dog because this is a little before CGI really picked up.
Yep.
Everything I think was real. And they're showing these shots. I was expecting to see a basketball bouncing off the dog's face and then another separate shot. And you're like, no.
Which they did most of the time for the kids for some reason.
For, yeah, right.
Kids can't shoot, but Air Bud can.
I know, these children.
Those are actors.
They're not.
I just thought that was so funny that there were so many wide shots of Air Bud making baskets.
Yeah.
And then so many cuts of the kids.
They do it. They say in the credits specifically, like, no FX was used in the basketball game scenes, which is a wild thing to have to write.
I actually miss that. But yeah, that is. There's not many movies in maybe ever have said that in the history of cinema.
Probably the only
We want you to know we shot this, okay? For real.
But what a stud. I mean, he full on made the baskets.
Mm-hmm.
That was super cool. I mean, going back into the vet perspective, and I'm seeing this dog's diet, which was obviously like tapioca and SpaghettiOs, and that's not ideal.
It's not great.
And pizza.
In the wild, they don't mostly eat pudding. They're not you. That's
it was like vanilla pudding or rice pudding or tapioca or something.
Yes.
So that wasn't ideal. But a dog's going to eat it up. And hey, listen, you know, a stray dog eating tapioca is better than, you know, the other stuff they could be getting into. So I'm not hating on it.
Okay.
You know, if I was that kid and I had my little snack pack, I'd be doing the same thing.
Yep, sure.
But yeah, that's not the ideal thing. I was impressed that the kid brushed his teeth.
Yes.
I was like, wow. I mean, even today, so many people, you know, neglect dental health in their dogs. And this kid is jamming away at those teeth, man. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah. With his mom's toothbrush.
I know. That's right.
His mom's toothbrush.
Didn't use his own because he knew.
Yeah.
She knew. This is kind of gross.
First of all, I was going to just ask about the brushing of the teeth. Like, how often should people brush their dog's teeth? Because I think it's neglected. People don't do that as much.
Yeah, it really is. Especially a breed like this size. Their teeth shouldn't be in too bad a shape. You know, smaller dogs, dental disease usually starts accumulating a little bit faster and a little bit younger potentially. But to answer your question, I mean, ideally every day, just like us. I mean, really, their dental health has a lot of parallels to our dental health.
Oh my God.
And so your dentist is going to tell you, your dentist is going to tell you brush your teeth twice a day at least.
Right.
You know, if you can, here's the thing, if you can even do once or twice a week, that is a way better than nothing. And the truth is, a lot of dogs don't tolerate toothbrushing, okay? Small breeds, I find especially, they're stubborn, they don't like it. I've got a little dog, he's like, under 9 pounds, a little Chihuahua mix, and he's a pretty mellow dude, but I try to put the toothbrush in his mouth, he's not a fan. We have to do some serious positive reinforcement training. For now, though, I give him, high-quality dental chews. So it's the mechanical action. That's the whole key behind it. When we're brushing our teeth, the toothpaste is helpful. It's good. It's got nice properties to it. But really, it's brushing and getting in there and getting that shit off the teeth. Mm-hmm. And so when you can get like a high quality chew, it's going to serve that purpose. Not quite as well, but again, way better than nothing.
Okay. And cats? Should we brush our cats' teeth?
If you can. Cats are really tough.
Okay.
And even from a veterinary perspective, the degree of their dental disease is much less straightforward to assess. With dogs, I can pretty much look in a dog's mouth and have a pretty good idea. If I can get a good look, I can have a good idea of what we're going to need to do, if there's going to be extractions, things like that. Not 100%, but a pretty good idea. Cats, I've seen cats' teeth where they really don't look that bad. They maybe got a little bit of calculus or tartar. And then once we go under anesthesia, I start probing around where I can probe around the teeth. I get X-rays where I can see what's going on under the gums, and it can be a whole nother story.
Okay, interesting. You brush your cat's teeth?
No.
I have a cat. I don't brush your teeth either.
I have tried. I have a toothbrush and I have toothpaste for the cat.
Well, good on you. Most people don't try. And there are cat treats too that serve a similar kind of purpose. Again, just that mechanical action.
Yeah, that's the idea. But it's rough. Got bit a lot on it. And you can kind of like sort of. At a certain point, they will give up, and you can like hold their mouth open. Uh-huh. We were also advised by our vet that there is like stuff that you can drop in their water that will.
Your vet told you that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know that it was not supposed to be a like long term thing, but it was like it was some sort of like cleaning chemical in the water that you just put a couple of drops in.
Whoa!
But they stopped drinking water, and I was like, well, can't have them be dehydrated.
Yeah, always. I mean, if you're adding anything to the water. I always recommend have another pure water dish as backup. Always have it available. When it comes to adding, water additives or doing like foams or rinses or that kind of thing, not to step on anyone's toes, but I'll tell you, most vets.
I'm not a vet. I don't know.
Most vets are going to tell you that's just kind of a BS kind of industry.
Sure.
And it's not doing a whole lot. Okay. And all the board certified, dental specialist vets.
Yeah.
They're not really keen on it at all. Wow. And really most vets aren't, but they're going to tell you get a high quality, rawhide or a high quality treat that has ridges or something on it that does that mechanical action. The rinses are just kind of, you're just kind of wasting your time and pissing your cat off,
And the same with dogs too.
I mean, every day. I want to pet them. They sometimes don't.
Well, that's why you have three. This one now?
Cycle through.
I don't know if your cats exhibit any odd behavior. I wanted to ask you about one that Lola does. This is my cat. So we have like a little Brita filter in the fridge. Mm-hmm. And so one time, and she is incredibly particular about everything. Mm-hmm. She's 13 years old. She's like very, she likes certain things in certain places. She likes things that are new. She likes things especially fresh. Like it has to be, she's going to sleep on it. It has to be like out of the dryer. She has, anyways.
That is hilarious.
She's hysterical.
High maintenance, huh?
Very high maintenance. And I love her. She's an angel.
Yeah.
So I'm getting water. This was already a few months ago. I'm getting water out of the Brita filter and it leaks a little bit. It drips a few drops onto the bottom of the fridge. It has like this like white part of the fridge that's on the floor.
Yeah. Inside the door when the door is open.
Inside the door. Yes. Yeah. And so she came up and started licking that water. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. I'll let her lick it up, whatever. Fast forward. Few weeks later, now addicted. She needs water from the fridge. She will meow at me. She'll lead me to the fridge. She'll ask me to open it with her head, and I have to open it and I have to drip some water onto the fridge and she'll drink it
probably
from there.
It's running, right? It's moving.
I think that's part of it because
that's often the case.
Okay.
I'm assuming you're giving her the same Brita water in her water containers or bowls or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
Sometimes I'll even put it in front of her face, a glass with, the, I'm like showing her, here's the water from the filter, drink it out of this glass. She's like, no. I want you to put it down, and I want to drink it from the floor.
Cats love running water. I mean, have you ever gotten her a fountain or anything like that? Like those cat fountains?
I haven't got her a fountain, but I did. I will put her on the sink in the kitchen, and she loves that also. Yeah. But she doesn't meow for that. She doesn't ask for it. She only asks for fridge.
Well, the filtered water.
Maybe it's a filtered.
Sink. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, honestly,
you're right.
Maybe. I mean, it's a different. I mean, our California water, I don't know exactly where you live, but most tap water here is... There's a significant difference, you know, and your cat might notice it too.
If anybody's going to notice
maybe
it.
Maybe try the fountain. Maybe because especially her age, just again from the veterinary perspective, as cats get older, you know, one of the most important organ systems that we want to keep healthy is their kidneys. Ooh. Okay, cats as obligate carnivores are eating a lot of proteins throughout the entirety of their life, and that's a bit of extra work for the kidneys. There's a high filtration process and a lot of work going on for that organ system. And so once they start getting to that age, that's where I start, you know, really wanting to keep close tabs on that, doing regular blood work, making sure their urine and everything else looks good as well, and ensuring adequate hydration. Kidneys are happy when they're nicely hydrated. Okay, when they're constantly a little bit dehydrated, that's more work for them. They have to filter out the blood that much more aggressively and conserve more water and just work harder. And so if you can ensure, you know, adequate water intake and offer multiple water sources, offer the fountains, things like that, you're going to prolong the life of those kidneys.
Wow.
And at that age, that's important. So my cat's not much younger. My cat, Willie, my oldest cat's like 11.
Uh-huh.
Or 12. I'm sorry. He's 7. Yeah, he's 12 years old.
Sorry about that, Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's good. He's good. And so, you know, same kind of thing. I'm just, you know, offering different water sources, putting water in the food sometimes, offering wet food in combination with dry food.
She doesn't like the wet food as much for some reason.
I had to get one of mine also does not, but she is more likely to drink. It's a like physical sensation of eating it thing for her.
Uh-huh.
So if I add like warm water to it and mash it up a little bit, if she can like drink it rather than have to chomp it, she's more likely.
And that's
to drink
great.
It.
And if you can do that, and then she's getting that much more water intake, you're doing a favor for those kidneys.
Wow.
You know,
again, high maintenance cat.
I know. Yeah. But it's great.
Love her. Wouldn't
and I think in general, they're just lower maintenance than dogs. I had dogs
100%.
All my life before this. And now I'm like, oh, I was a cat person the whole time. I didn't realize it.
It's funny. I tell so many people that it's like, if you don't like cats, you haven't met the right cat. You haven't met like a good friendly cat. Because when it comes down to it, arguably, and listen, I love my dog. I love that guy to death. He's my little boy. But a good cat, I mean, it really is kind of the best pet. You know,
it is.
Wow. They've got
so
a litter box. They groom themselves.
Yes.
You can leave all day. You're gone. They're fine. Like, you don't have to walk them. Like, mm-hmm. I play with my cats and I give them enrichment and engage and everything, but what an easy pet. And you get such a good, you get so much return out of it. You get such a good tight bond with them, and they offer everything a dog does, you know, if they're that friendly kind of cat, you know?
And they don't give it away too. So when a cat is affectionate with you, you're like, oh, okay.
You earned it.
Yeah. I earned this.
Yes.
I have done
very rewarded
to gain the trust of this animal that would eat me if it could.
No, that's cool. No, total cat people here. I'm with you guys. And again, I love dogs too. I work with tons of dogs, you know, in the vet practice. I've got my dog, but it's tough to beat a good cat.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get back into Air Bud for a second.
Should there be a movie about a cat that plays basketball?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's,
why not?
It's much more impressive than a dog that plays. We all agree, dog that plays basketball.
I mean, cats are so
very
fast.
Impressive.
I feel like there should be like a cat that plays ping pong movie or something.
Oh,
swatting the ball.
I would watch that.
Yeah, or soccer.
You
running
see
the
all
field?
Those clips of the cat that would like. Stop football games because there's like a cat on the football field.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like running her.
Like, I feel like every outdoor sport, like baseball games, have done that too, and they have to go like get the cat then sauntering on the
People
field.
Are chasing,
both teams should have one cat that they get to release onto the field at one point.
We're
and
down
one,
10.
One cat, like
handler.
Yes. And if that cat can get to the end zone, that cat can get a touchdown for that team.
Or at
and
least both, a point.
At least a point.
Yeah, cat couple. Stats.
And give it stakes. Make it the
give
Harry
it
Potter
two.
Golden
give it
Snitch.
Two.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, honestly, you'll get a lot more viewers if every team has some cat members,
you
right?
Will. Can
you
imagine? You will increase your viewership for sure.
For sure.
I don't watch a lot of football. I love football.
I watch zero football. If there were cats, if I knew that both teams
in the background.
Yeah.
If I knew that both teams got to deploy one cat play.
Yeah, a little helmet on. That's great.
I would watch all the time.
Same.
I would watch every game.
Well, speaking of animals playing sports, I wanted to look up the biggest question I'm sure everybody has about this movie.
Can legally a dog play basketball?
That's correct. And I looked it up. I have it here somewhere. Hold on. Okay. So in the movie, the ref, the coach, I think, says there's no rule that a dog can't play basketball. And then the refs reiterate it. And so
the ref checks his book for 15 yes, seconds.
He does
He's
check
right.
His book.
I read the whole thing.
He does check his book.
Well, there's the animal section for youth basketball.
That's right.
Obviously, animals
got to go right to that chapter. Yeah.
The part that says cockatiels cannot be used for official scorekeeping.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is right in there.
Commentators can't be snakes.
Commentators cannot be snakes.
Yeah.
Which is honestly an old rule that we should change.
We should change
that. It's offensive to snakes.
You're absolutely right.
It's not
fair. Really not PC.
It's not PC. It's bad and it's old.
We'll put a link in the description for a protest.
Let's
and
start
people
like a
can
GoFundMe or something.
Yes,
exactly. Hashtag commentating snakes.
Change.org.
So I did look up some things that people were saying. So number one, there are registration requirements. So you would need a legal name and school affiliation to play on that team.
Well, they covered that. The person says the dog practices with the team, is on the team.
I don't know if that means he's like registered, but
I mean,
okay.
In Disney law, he's registered.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So
he has a number. he has a number and a letter.
Oh, you're right. He is wearing shoes and a jersey and the whole deal.
He's K9, which is, I didn't know that you could put letters in your sort of basketball jersey, but it's very good.
Yes. And also that's still, even if his letter or number is K9, you wouldn't refer to him as that. Like the commentators say like, yeah, no, I'm now checking in K9, but it would still be his name. Like names go on the back of your jersey.
Buddy, which is.
Right. Buddy.
Which is wild because he would have the last name of the little kid. But
Buddy Fram.
But okay. That's my biggest problem with the movie is the name of the jersey.
The other one I have is that there is a rule that says an official may suspend play for any unusual circumstance. So they could have pulled that card, but maybe they were biased. Maybe they liked the dog.
It says may.
Right, exactly. They didn't have to do that.
Okay.
Discretion of the ref.
That does kind of check out. Okay, so yeah, I had definitely the question of the food they're feeding him, they're feeding him ice cream. They're feeding him SpaghettiOs.
You got that pizza slice and...
Yes. Is there certain things that are poisonous, that are like no... Across the board, don't feed that to your cat or dog, these items.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely there are. I mean, I didn't see anything that was toxic to a dog in that movie. I mean, the only concern I saw was, I guess... high fat foods for dogs, especially animal product fats like pork chops or too much cheese, stuff like that. That has a potential to cause something called pancreatitis.
Okay.
And that's inflammation of the pancreas, an organ we also have, many mammals have, pretty much every mammal has.
I've got one.
Yeah, you sure do. And so, yeah, high fat meals can actually get that organ pretty pissed off. And pancreatitis can make a dog really sick. Like a lot of times, especially some of the smaller breeds, we have to hospitalize these guys. The prognosis is good if we give them the treatment they need, but they're vomiting, they're not eating, they're in a ton of pain,
and
abdominal pain. So we got to pump some aggressive fluids, get them on GI supportive meds. I mean, that's kind of getting beside the point. So that was the only concern. But listen, I've seen dogs eat big chunks of pizza and do fine, especially a big, you know, golden retriever or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't too concerned. That's a very high carbohydrate diet, everything that we saw him eat. I don't recall him seeing really any conventional dog food at any point in the movie.
I don't either.
I think only because it's not good television. You have to assume that dog was living outside in theory.
Right.
That it had a bowl of dog food.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would hope.
I don't know if that kind of stuff happens now. I get frustrated, you know, as a vet and somebody that has an interest in animals' welfare, seeing movies like this. I mean, because, okay, on the one side, yes, it promotes dogs and pets, and this is great. That's a good thing, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But there's so many people out there that are really ignorant when it comes to how to care for a pet. And then they see, you know, Nemo, you know, in a movie and think, I want a goldfish. And they have no idea what they're doing. And the parents have no idea what they're doing. They don't know what a biological filter is. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the kind of anything about how to care for these animals. And a dog is maybe a little more straightforward or common knowledge. But, you know, kids are like, oh, shit, man, I can feed my dog SpaghettiOs. Like, look at this. I got my little Air Bud. And so that's kind of frustrating. And so it's like, where do you draw the line? And these are movies, but it's, you know, I think it's parents should take responsibility in that too.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it is tough to see, you know, from the vet perspective. And it's like, no, I don't want all these kids thinking they can feed their dog, you know, tapioca or whatever.
I wonder how many people went back home to their dogs after this movie and just like gently tossed a basketball at their dog's head.
Oh, man. It must have happened.
And the answer is a lot.
And the food. Oh, yeah. I think a lot of dogs got diabetic that year because they were eating spaghetti and tapioca.
Pudding. Yeah, big time. I was going to ask about the tricks, too, because I went online and just saw a bunch of videos of dogs shooting baskets and all this kind of stuff, which is awesome. And if you have time, Google that for sure.
And I had a dog that would do this.
Whoa.
I had a dog that was part chow, part golden retriever that liked to, like... it's like they're jumping for a frisbee. They're jumping for an object that they can't catch in their mouth, so they kind of just bop it. Mm. But I would never do it with a thing that was as heavy as a basketball.
Right.
You would use like one of those cheap inflatable.
Well, did you notice when there were scenes where Buddy's, you know, biting on the ball, and it's clearly
deflated.
Two-thirds inflated ball.
Has to be.
And then they go around and dribble the thing.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. I was wondering about that because it seemed like, I couldn't even tell because it was happening so fast, of what part he was hitting it with. Was his nose or something?
I mean, it looked like it was right on the front of the muzzle. Yeah, his nose and mouth. So like, the nose is soft tissue.
Right.
And so what I think was happening was he's just bopping it with the front of his face. And so really the impact is happening on what we call his maxilla. That's like his facial bones. That's basically the bone above your teeth there.
And does that hurt the pup?
I mean, dogs are pretty stoic, and like the nose is a sensitive organ, but at the same time, you see dogs playing pretty rough with it or bopping into things, and they don't seem to have an issue. I would imagine the ball that they use was potentially a little bit lighter than what we would expect.
Because
that impact is gonna be, you know,
right.
It would hurt me.
I think you would.
We would be more sensitive to it, honestly.
Wow.
And listen, trust me, I have as much sensitivity as anyone for dogs, but I think it's not the same thing.
Okay.
When they're bopping balls off them, and clearly the dog loved to do it. He was trained to do it. He was very motivated.
Seemed like he was having a ball.
Yeah, and he was
very good.
Yeah, he seemed pretty into it.
Yeah, I heard your joke. It was good.
I wasn't saying it as a joke.
Take a second. He said he was having a ball.
I was just
talking about balls.
It was an accident, Zach.
It was very good. We all heard it. We all liked it.
I'm moving on. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docu-special on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes, follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
The break is over. Here we go, back to the show about science.
So teaching them tricks, is there certain types of dogs? Because I don't know different dog breeds or who's more capable, but I did read that golden retrievers are like a very smart dog that you can teach them tricks and they'll get them quicker than other dogs. So is that the case? Are there dogs that can't do tricks as well or that
are? Most dog breeds, you can teach them a lot of those tricks.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, the thing with positive reinforcement, if you have a motivation, okay, so with positive reinforcement training, all you need is a motivation, and then you need to create that association. Mm-hmm. And so most dogs, by far, are food motivated. And so you have a nice treat that they like. And then it's gradual progression to get that desired behavior and rewarding them along the way. And as they get it more refined, you keep rewarding them, and you get them to the point where, and you show, you know, you reward them for doing that right behavior, and then they learn it quick. Once they know what you want them to do, and that's going to get them their treat, they're going to do it. And wow. And this is not just dogs. I mean, this is kind of training you can do with iguanas and crocodiles and
cats
and honeybees and fish and cats, no doubt. I mean, these are the intelligence capabilities of especially upper vertebrates like mammals is, I think, beyond what most people would assume.
Okay.
And you can teach these guys to do a lot of stuff. You just have to have that association and that motivation. And if you can put those two things together and do it in the right steps, you can teach these guys to do a lot.
Very cool.
I'm food motivated. That works on me as well.
Yeah, you can do a lot of tricks.
Mm-hmm.
What about your cats? Do your cats do any tricks?
I have taught my cats that right before we go to bed, because I want them to sleep in the room even though they don't, that I feed them, because they're both very food motivated, that I give them treats on the bed, at the foot of the bed.
I love this.
So at the end of the night, like, I go over to the cupboard where the treats are, and they just run into the bedroom because that's where they're going.
Wow.
Then I feed them, and they eat the treats, and then they immediately leave.
Right.
Because they have gotten the thing that they came for.
But you get your little You're at least a little second of bedtime kitties.
And I feel like they're smart because it's like I'm holding a thing and they run in the opposite direction from it. Which
I'm picturing this. Yeah. You're kind of like a crazy cat lady. This is
kind
of loving
100%.
It. Like, I'm picturing him going, and I don't even know the layout of your house, but going and getting your treats and your cats are talking and meowing and running to the bedroom and they're all excited. And you're
That's
just
correct.
Like, oh, I love my cats.
That's
and,
right. I love
and it's like an old comedy reel also because then you go there to give them the treats and they run the other
they're
way.
Gone,
and,
you know,
come back, come back.
Yakety Sax plays.
No!
We go in one door, they come out of a different door somewhere else in the house. We go up some ladders, we're wearing hats when we come back out. That's our nightly routine.
I love it.
It's good.
That's great. I never that's even perfect. Thought about trying to teach Lola a trick, but now I feel like I gotta have her do something. Jump in a hoop or God knows what. There's no way she's making a basketball.
Yeah.
That would be my dream, though, because I love basketball.
I mean, it's possible.
A couple of
I mean, not a full-on... Okay.
Yeah, a little mini basket.
Basketball, I wouldn't, you know, smash on a cat's face. That would not go,
that's
probably.
That's the only way I'll do it.
But I mean, so.
Regulation size.
Yeah.
My kid's going to play for the NBA, or he will find a new home.
That's great. The burying of the newspapers. That was another thing I wanted to talk about. He keeps stealing their newspaper and burying it somewhere. So I wanted to ask just, like, why he would do that.
Well, that's because he hates print journalism.
Yeah.
He knows.
He knew.
The news
even in
changed.
1997, he was going digital.
He was the world was changing.
Yeah. Yeah, good
what
for
is,
Bud.
What is this woman doing? Get a Yahoo account. Even then, that's where he would have gotten news.
Yeah, yeah. He was opening her laptop for her.
Yeah. Did you see the kid's computer in the bedroom? I don't know if you guys noticed
that.
Oh,
no, that. I missed it.
Yeah, I missed
it was
it too.
Like a super old school laptop. It was amazing. It had this like rolly mouse ball thing attached
to
the side.
Yes.
It was like 4 inches thick.
I remember those.
You know what I mean? Like it was it was a beast. And it probably, you know, the RAM is what, like, you know, 50 kilobytes or whatever.
I remember buying a 2 gigabyte hard drive extension for my first computer.
Wow.
To be like, come on, we're going to make this huge.
Yeah,
it's going to hold.
Now
it's going to have 3 gigabytes of storage.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I remember loading websites and going to like do laundry.
And then to come
like,
back.
Coming back, being like, the page is loaded.
Yeah.
Dial up, man. How do we explain
Good old
it?
Days.
How do we explain it?
There's no way to explain it. They'll never understand.
Yeah. With the newspapers.
Right.
I mean, so, a newspaper kid or person, whatever, is doing their route, throwing stuff on the lawn. And this dog, as many dogs do, that's their property. That's their lawn.
Oh, okay.
That's their kind of that's
their turf.
Their turf, exactly.
Yeah.
So, when something foreign comes on it, you know that kind of belongs to them. And that's just something a lot of dogs do. They bury things. Sometimes they'll save it for later. Sometimes they just want to bury it and get it out of sight. You know, it's just
like
common
an ownership
dog behavior.
Thing.
Yeah, it's kind of an ownership thing, a possessive thing. They do that with their own toys too. It doesn't have to be foreign stuff coming in the yard.
Cool.
But it's not uncommon dog behavior and actually conceivable.
Okay.
Then he might do that.
Again, I mean, I hide stuff in my yard.
What are you hiding in your yard?
Plants. I'll bury plants all the time. Just wait for them to come back later. So this plant, I like it.
And for you, it's an ownership thing? You want people to know
it's
this
my yard.
Your
it's plant.
Plant
things in it.
You pee on them too, obviously.
Yes. Well, how else would I mark my territory?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll put my name in the mailbox and like the number of the house.
Right.
But you got to cover your bases.
Yeah. So you pee on the mailbox?
A skunk doesn't know how to read that.
Right.
So, yeah.
But he knows pheromones
from
human urine. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you have official.
I'm gonna tell my
approval.
Wife, and this is why it's okay for me to pee on all the things in my front yard.
A doctor said.
A doctor told me I could, and also
Wait,
there's a bear that lives in my house.
And have a wife?
I do.
Well, you're peeing on her, I'm assuming.
No, she's not.
How
my property.
Do other men
she's my
don't
partner.
No. Then
well,
she's your property.
Well, she's not, and she tells them.
Does she pee on you?
Her. Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm her property.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to just put this at the front of the podcast.
It's 2019. Men don't own women. Women own all men.
Yes. We have resorted the other way. We've swung back the
it's
other
okay.
way.
Yeah. Things have changed from 1997.
Things are better now.
It's not just dogs anymore. Okay. I wanted to ask about the swimming. There's a heartbreaking moment where I think his name's Josh. Name is Josh in the movie? Josh Frank?
Yeah.
He like
Who could know? I watched the whole movie yesterday. No idea.
We all watched it yesterday. I think it's Josh. Yeah. I think his last name's
Fram. Josh Fram.
It is.
Who I also just want to throw in was made the manager of the basketball team instantaneously. The coach didn't even talk to him. He was just sitting there.
Well, he came to the tryouts and then didn't try out because he got too sad because his dad died as a test pilot, which they never talk about, but they do show you a newspaper clipping up.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good movie making by a bad man. Harvey Weinstein is a monster, was a producer on this movie.
No.
That's correct. Yes, yeah, sir. I saw that.
We're talking about a Harvey movie.
Mm-hmm. Opening credits. I saw that.
He's an executive producer on this.
Oh.
Unfortunate. Not gonna blame the kid. The kid's just trying to work.
It's not Josh's fault.
Josh had bad haircut, as did everyone else in that movie.
It could have been worse, man. I mean, this is just after what, bowl cuts? I mean, his best buddy had a bowl cut.
Best buddy had it worse.
His dumpster diving buddy.
Who had Dennis Rodman's juicy fruit.
That's right, in his sock.
Guys, Dennis Rodman's not chewing juicy fruit.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that? That was a juicy fruit?
He had a bunch of, like,
I thought it was orange peels and, like,
he had Scottie Pippen's orange peel.
Yep.
Yes.
Because this kid, I guess, would go to NBA games, wait for someone to eat something, and then, like, a little raccoon, go and rummage through the trash.
He was kind of like a little raccoon kid.
Yeah, he was a raccoon kid. Sean Kemp's apple core.
Okay.
Yep.
Love all of these NBA players.
I know, they're like 90s NBA.
It's awesome.
These players are all eating full pieces of fruit courtside,
which we see all the time in the NBA.
Which is great. And Dennis Rodman had juicy fruit.
That's right.
He got that from Dennis Rodman. I don't know.
But yeah,
they were writing hard jokes into that script. There was a lot of stuff that I don't know how it got into that script. That I do know how it got into the script.
Yes. Yeah. Those were jokes. Hook, line, sinker right there. Yeah. But he came in, he sat there, he was just miserable, and then never taking his backpack off, started to leave. And the coach just said, like, hey, you want to be a manager of the team? It's an important job. A lot of responsibility.
I don't think Josh said anything.
Didn't say a word. He was like, okay.
But he did it anyway. And being a manager of the team meant doing the laundry and inflating so many basketballs for this team. Just there were like 20 basketballs in a rack. And he was doing the 21st. There's like 8 kids. Each kid needed 3 basketballs.
Did you guys have managers on your sports teams?
No.
No.
Okay, First of all,
thank you for assuming that I played sports as a child. But I had the same thought because I played basketball up until, as a kid, decided to do musical theater instead.
Right.
But no, you would never force one of the kids to do laundry.
Honestly, it would go the other way, I think. Some kid would beg to be manager and you'd tell him no 3 times and then his parents would complain and then you'd be like, okay, fine, you can come to the games with a clipboard. Who cares?
And also, 12-year-old boys are not washing their uniform after every practice.
I mean, they're smelling was like a different time,
they're
but...
smelling like garbage every day. You're having to peel the uniform off of their skin.
Yeah, and imagine telling the parents you have to be there before
and then they're
the team
throwing their dirty uniforms at them.
This child.
And then in that whole scene, like they're going, like, I mean, as a kid, I don't know, but we never like hit the showers.
No,
in our youth sports.
Hit the showers.
Like, never took a shower.
Absolutely not.
Never took a shower at school.
Your mom picks you up and
you go home. Shower.
If she can convince you to take a shower then.
Jeez.
For sure. I mean, is it good storytelling in the movie? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's fantasy. It's pure fantasy.
This is all fantasy.
I don't know whose fantasy that is. I don't think I want to know.
You're right. The wrong word. Pure fiction.
Pure fiction. Yeah, that's a little
we'll
nicer.
Stick with that. We were getting a little weird.
And then
there for a
he wants to try out for the team. He comes in because he got a flyer from the engineer guy.
And the coach is like, no.
Yeah, the coach is like, what are you talking? Don't waste my time. So you have never seen him play basketball.
Because the retired NBA player who works as a janitor at the school. Again, good storytelling.
Great, love it. He has an old card. He has an old basketball card of him, which was great.
When the kid asked him to sign this card, that's not me.
That guy's
dead. No, he said, that guy's dead.
That guy's
dead. He's been dead for a long time. It's like, whoa.
Why'd you bury your past?
Can we talk about the fact that this child found a fully abandoned basketball court that was then just his.
Yes.
Lakeside. Mountain views.
Lakeside Mountain View basketball court.
Kicked down the fence and there was a gorgeous lake.
Where was this,
there,
by the way? Was this like Wyoming or something? Like, where were we?
Couldn't tell you.
Were we Oregon? I don't even know.
There was a moment
where Pacific Northwest, maybe?
Yeah. It felt like it, where I was like, I should find it. I should figure this out. And then I didn't follow through on that instinct.
Yeah, I probably should have done that research.
You know who does know probably is Wikipedia. Please hold. Continue your conversation.
We're holding for Zach. Oh, Air Bud gets stage fright. I wanted to ask you about that. He's like about to do some tricks. Yeah. There's a big crowd and he can't do it because people are watching. I mean, at least that's what it seemed like. Is that a thing? Would dogs care about that?
Yeah. So even some trained animals can be different in a completely different setting. So like I've done a lot of TV shows, like as a guest kind of thing. And I'll have animals with me, some of which are trained like domesticated animals. Uh-huh. And they're, you know, they behave a certain way. But then, okay, we go to a studio. We've got, you know, hundreds, give or take, people in the audience. We've got these stage lights. We're on a set, which is not conventional because it's a little bit raised. It's a very open, big space.
Right.
So it's a completely different setting for them than they might not be familiar with. So, I think that's certainly possible. And if he's never done that kind of, his tricks and performing in front of that big of a setting, then maybe so. I mean, he did used to work for a clown.
True.
So he's used to screaming children.
That did, yeah. This maybe had some parallels in the performances they did.
Yeah.
But that's not inconceivable. That's okay. Possible.
I mean, he picked it up pretty quick.
I worked with a baby crocodile, alligator.
Oh.
One of the two.
What? Why?
It was on a Conan O'Brien like short that I did.
Cool.
Oh, fun, man.
And there was a really great I don't know if he was a veterinarian, but he was like an animal handler who clearly loved these animals.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, this is this baby crocodile's favorite day because he's not going to have to fight all the other baby crocodiles for food today.
Wow.
Like, I guess normally they all live together and they feed together. So they have a pecking order where and today, he's just going to get food by himself. So.
How big are we talking?
Whoa. This big or so.
That's 3.5, 4 feet.
That's tail included. So the body is only 2 feet and small, and for safety his mouth was
do with the crow? What was the bit?
Held it in my hand. Just held it.
Were you scared? I'd be freaked out.
There were enough people that one of the things he said to me, and you tell me if this is true or not, but I assumed it was, that the way that these things hunt is in very short bursts of incredible energy.
Yeah.
And after they sort of get that out, they don't have a ton left in the tank.
Okay.
So he was had been working with it that day to make it sort of a more tired crocodile.
Yeah,
alligator.
Wear him out.
So by the time I was holding him, he was just kind of chilling.
I mean, okay, so yes, to answer that bit, crocodiles, crocodilians in general, alligators, crocodiles, gharials, caimans, those are all in the crocodilian group of reptiles.
Cool.
They're ambush predators. And so in general, they're not, constantly on the move. They're not roving around looking for prey. They're waiting for prey pretty much to come to them. Or they might stalk a little bit if it's an animal say a Nile crocodile, then sees a gazelle feeding by the water. They'll slowly kind of casually stalk over, concealed and hidden, and then flash out of the water. And so, I've worked with crocodiles around the world and different species. And in general, if you're working with one that you have to catch to work with for whatever reason, they're going to give you the biggest fight initially. And sometimes that can last just a few seconds. Sometimes it's up to a minute or two. But once they're done, they're done. Alligators, I would be willing to bet it was an alligator just because I know the industry here. There's far more alligators available for these kind of edutainment kind of purposes like what you're doing on the show than there are crocodiles. There are some crocs, but there's more alligators. Alligators are also far more mellow than crocodiles. Crocodiles are really aggressive. So if I was personally had a crocodile and an alligator and I wanted to take one on TV to have somebody hold it, that's never
alligator.
Alligator, because I mean, these guys, when they're in captivity, if they're handled on somewhat of a regular basis, I mean, they're teddy bears. I mean, a lot of the gators I've worked with, we haven't had to or wouldn't have needed to tape the mouth shut.
Oh, wow.
I did one. I was on the Daily Show or the Today Show. I'm sorry, not the Daily Show, Today Show. And it was 6 feet, 100,
Whoa.
It was big. And the mouth wasn't shut at all. It was so mellow. I mean, I wasn't concerned at all.
Okay.
It was so used to being handled.
Alligators ain't shit.
Yeah, well, they're mellow. I mean, they're just mellow. I mean, it's funny.
They're murder animals.
Steve Irwin would say alligators are just like big bullfrogs with teeth. He was most familiar, obviously, working with the saltwater crocodile in Australia. And they also have a freshwater crocodile, but the salties especially, they're super aggressive.
So comparatively.
I mean, I from America, I say a crocodile is like an alligator on PCP. I mean, they're just I've never really worked with anything on PCP or been around it a whole lot, but
we
I just make that assumption.
We do not condone the putting of animals on PCP on this or any podcast. We will not
Thank
say
you.
That. We don't stand for it.
That's correct.
That's an important disclaimer.
Yes.
But they are aggressive. They're strong. They're fast. It's kind of a different beast
compared
compared to alligators. That's very cool. I can handle a 10-foot alligator by myself, whereas a 10-foot crocodile would buck me, 20 feet away after, ripping my head off or something.
Wow. One of the things that this one did, and I don't know if they both do this, but apparently when they get angry, sad, or it's just a thing they do, they shoot water out of their eyes.
What?
Like, I watched it do it. There was water coming out of its, and, like, I don't know if that's where the term, like, crocodile tears come from or whatever, but this one did it. It was, like, little, like...
Whoa.
It was very
strange.
Sprays
out tears?
It was very weird.
Okay. I have never seen nor heard this. And I am a huge crocodile nerd. I've worked with a lot of crocodiles and
maybe I saw the world wrong.
Maybe you were on PCP.
I mean,
maybe.
you saw, but I wonder if that's something unique to that individual.
Oh.
And that he just had some sort of a tear gland or tear duct, something unique, anatomically going on. I've never heard.
Oh, sorry.
That.
It was not squirting. It was bubbling. Water was bubbling.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if they're hissing and stuff, there is a communication from the, basically from the airways, essentially. So you have, let's call it, it's probably their nasolacrimal duct, but basically it's a duct that can communicate to, and we have one too. So I don't know if you've ever, had an eye drop and, might have a flavor to it, or if you've had your eye stained and it's that green stuff.
Stained?
If you have corneal damage, your ophthalmologist will stain your eyes. Oh, we do it in the vet field too. But anyways, it can come out the nose.
Oh, wow.
And if it can go out the nose, it can also get in the mouth, basically.
Right. Okay.
And so I wonder, anyways, my point being, he was hissing and whatnot, and I'm assuming he was
yeah,
hissing?
I think they said it was an anger.
So then
thing.
Some of the air was kind of coming out there. Yeah. It's not a functional or defensive thing. He must have been
byproduct.
Pretty pissed. Yeah, it's just secondary. I don't recall seeing that, but that makes more sense.
Okay.
An active jet or squirt.
No, that's not right.
I misspoke. That would kind of change my world. Like, I need to go home and talk to my croc people and get to the bottom of this.
Well, speaking of crocs, I did want to ask you, and maybe it's a common question, but have you ever felt like you're out of your depth? Like you're in a situation where you didn't know what to do. You were flustered. You were, because I've seen a few of these clips where you're with, like I said, a bear, if you were talking about you're with giraffes, elephants, like were you ever just, overwhelmed or freaking out?
No, I mean, I was pretty lucky with the show. I mean, there's been moments where, I mean, to tell you from my experience, I've had more of those kinds of moments at times like, in the operating room and I'm working on a species and we just don't know as much about anatomically.
Right.
And I've not seen the inside of them that often or many times or ever. And I'm like, oh shit, man. Like I've got this life in my hands. Like those are some of the most stressful moments as a vet. And any exotics vet will tell you this. And I guarantee they've been there and they've been in that operating room. They've been like, shit, man, this is intense. But I've been lucky. I mean, I put myself in some situations that maybe, in the past that I might not do today that are a bit dangerous you got to be careful with the animals you're working with and that kind of thing. But these days and with the show in particular, I felt pretty good. There was some moments off camera that got a little sketchy. There was one elephant actually and was not very pleased with me in one of the episodes. And he was being very cool and then I ran out of food and he had like a little kind of like mock charge kind of thing at me. But he did go and his handler had to kind of get him in check and everything. But everything else was fine.
Okay, that's good to know. And what about the cutest one? I saw one on your birthday, I think it was.
I was that little slow loris?
Yes.
Or slender loris?
Slender loris, yeah.
I was literally going to say, I mean, that was... That thing was freaking adorable.
Yeah, that was really
crazy. Was that
crazy.
Not just
that little tiny baby?
Craziest little
primate. I couldn't believe it was real. It really seemed like a CGI.
Is that the one that had, there was that clip circulating around about the one that wanted an umbrella or something?
Yeah.
Like a little tiny guy?
Yeah, probably. So that was probably a slow loris. So this is a slender loris. They're closely related. Mm-hmm. These guys are native to Sri Lanka. They just have longer appendages and they're pirty arboreal. And the slow lorises are too, but the slow lorises are kind of
compact. We don't need to body shame the slow lorises, but okay, yeah, the slender lorises.
They're a little more stout.
Okay.
Yeah, the slender loris is like the runway model slow loris. And they super similar face, like those big eyes on the front of their face.
They're all
features,
beautiful.
Otherwise,
they're really beautiful.
Zach.
Yeah. I have to stand up for my friends, the slow loris.
The slow loris. Yeah, we got to get you one of those.
No. Don't say that.
Oh,
we don't want to do that.
No, nobody should have those as pets.
Leave all exotic animals where they live.
Yes.
I mean, okay, some exotic animals can be okay pets. Ball pythons, for instance. Bearded dragons. they actually make great pets. They're fine. And if you're doing the right care and doing what they need, they actually thrive and do well in captivity.
Okay.
Lorises in general, no. And one of the biggest misconceptions with lorises was the most common viral videos that I would see with them is that they appeared like they love being pet. And they'd put their arms in the air like this. Did you ever see that where they like put their arms up and tickle
like
their belly?
It's like a fear thing or something?
It's actually a huge fear thing. Oh, so that's what they do when they're extremely stressed. So lorises are very unique primates. They're the only venomous primate. And they have these axillary venom glands or brachial glands maybe that are basically like kind of just by their armpit in their upper arm area.
What?
They're brachial glands, I believe. So they're kind of like right in this area, just past their armpit on the inside of their upper arm. And they produce venom. And what they do is when they're stressed.
I have those.
Yeah, right.
I think that might be a thing that I also have.
Yeah. Yeah, I can smell
venom.
Yeah.
Venom under my... Go on. I just wanted to try to chime in there. Say another thing.
What they'll do is they throw their arms up in the air and it looks like they like being tickled, but no, they're actually trying to get better access to their armpits.
Oh.
Then they'll start licking them. They get the venom then on their teeth and then they bite.
Holy crap.
And so this was a huge misconception. And there was all these viral videos of these lorises in captivity and like... I don't know, I think they were coming from the Ukraine or Russia or something like that in the exotic, you know, pet trade. And it was actually just the total opposite of what people thought. And I didn't even know it the first time I saw it.
Of course not, because it looks like a dog lying on its belly.
Yeah, and his eyes are wide open, but he's not moving.
Right.
He's not making any other, he's not biting or baring his teeth or doing a lot of other things than other animals do in that kind of stressful, potentially fight or flight situation. He's just got his arms in the air and looking all concerned, but they always look concerned.
Right.
You know, that
right.
face, they got the big eyebrows and everything. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, he likes it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and then you look into it.
Or he's about
to
bite me with poison.
It's just a good reminder not to map like what one animal's behavior. Because like we know, like a dog lying on its back, it's like okay, rub my stomach. But even we all know that like a cat lying on its back just means it trusts you. If you go to touch its stomach,
yeah, bad news.
Well, some cats, and then other individuals are like, I definitely want you to pet me
right
here. That's how my cat Willie, the older one.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, if he's flopping around, he's belly up. It's go time.
If I touch mine on the stomach, he's like, "Oh, okay, we're doing a fun dance where we're fighting, like fun fighting."
Yeah.
But like that's like, "Oh, you think we're play fighting now?"
Right. That's what my other cat does.
Yeah, got to check.
So I have a little. Your gray cat's name is Boo.
My little gray cat's name is Boo.
My little gray cat's name is Blue.
Whoa!
Yeah, so funny.
And anyways, named it by randomly looking at a paint can.
Yeah,
this cat's name is paint can Blue.
I know. I was like, "What is he gonna say?" Because I wasn't thinking about the color. I'm like, "Was the brand of paint?" I didn't. What is it? Blue. Oh, of course. Yeah.
This is not animal related at all. But there's the one scene right after he has got. The bad guy, Snively, Norman Snively, Snively.
That was name? A good...
It was a good villain name.
Like archetypal villain name.
Full villain name. You know out the gate, Snively.
I mean, is that an adjective? Is that like a way to describe somebody just being like a sleazy kind of person?
Snively, is it also a Rocky and Bullwinkle villain?
Yeah, that's
it's
what
something
I was thinking.
Like that.
Oh,
Snively.
It's in that sort of realm.
Right.
Anyway, he's just got the dog back. It's like the next day,
yes.
And he's on the phone. He ostensibly has already booked up the next month with like famous dog appearances. But he's like, I don't want my dog to do a beer commercial.
And then,
he says this.
All the Budweisers.
They're all like, they've been clearly trying to map that this man is a functioning alcoholic the entire time.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't want my dog to do a beer commercial. I have standards. And then, of course, like 3 seconds later, he's like, well, I guess it pays this much money. Who is he on the phone with that is like,
right.
Budweiser like called this man the next day?
I think the VP marketing rep of Anheuser-Busch
called him and was like, you want your dog to do this beer commercial. Also, so in the chase scene where the kid then goes and steals the dog, right?
Yes.
So then he chases he's drunk, assumedly, because he's, again, we've seen like a pyramid of beer
cans. Like 15 beers in.
And like the first time we see him, he's like swerving all over the road. He pulls the door off of his car.
Right.
So he proceeds to chase this kid and this dog through a park where he almost vehicularly manslaughters a couple who are having a picnic.
A nice little picnic.
Correct.
A ton of property damage at this park. Like knocks over a swing set, then drives his entire car into the lake.
Yep. That's
and
right.
And then like waltzes in to the stadium. Minutes later, the dog is also like has been rolling around in the mud and is like perfectly clean.
Totally
by the way,
cleaned
the
up.
Next day.
Yep.
And he's like not arrested. No one cares. Like, a dude drove a car into a lake and everyone knows who and where he is. And is just like, fine. It's just at large in this Washington,
I
by
think
the
that's
way,
just
community.
The small town.
Washington State.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
it's
there
just
it
Washington
is.
State. People Great. Are just allowed to do this.
It was just a small community, you know? Everybody, yeah. It's his car's done. You know, I mean, it's in the lake. What are you
proven by the
it's the lake's car now.
Proven by the court case that we had at the end of the movie, that it was like everyone in the town showed up.
It was a very normal court case. And with all sorts of normal things that were allowed to happen in a court.
It was community justice at its finest.
Yep.
I mean,
absolutely.
And back to the car thing, I loved how every single thing fell apart
the bottom of the car
along the use of it in that last little rodeo.
Yeah, that's
like,
fun.
It was literally like the I think
the
you
brakes,
should leave
the steering wheel,
sketch.
The door.
Right, the yes. steering wheel literally yes. flies out of the car.
Well, what do you do though? I mean, I was actually thinking about that. I'm thinking, okay, I can evacuate from this car, which mm-hmm. is moving, I don't know, 25, 30 miles an hour, maybe
yeah.
at least.
You're going
to
get
not
hurt.
Not fast enough to catch the child and the dog who are
oh, good call.
Who are
right.
running.
And that's so. Probably closer to 12 miles an hour, so. Maybe at best.
But
so
it
yeah,
does
5
seem,
to 10.
It does seem like it's going 25 miles an hour.
So
it,
let's yeah. say even 15 or
and
12.
And it has no Great. Door because the door
like,
has already
is,
come off.
This is a speed. This is a thing.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, I got to be, if my car, if the brakes are... done.
They've fallen out.
This thing's not stopping. It's going in the water. Nothing's stopping it. I think I might actually rather go in the water than get all scathed up on the ground and get like slammed around.
Yeah. Well, especially
like
you said,
there's no
door.
It's going to suck to do the cold water. Yeah. That water is like 40 something degrees. It's going to be fucking brutal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
like, it would be pretty scary to jump out of a moving car.
No, he made the right move.
I don't know. I think, and think in my head, I'm picturing like, the contact force of the car
oh hitting the
doing
water
that sweet jump into the
yeah.
lake
yeah
I'm worried
how
that
did they
like
get that
hydraulic
trajectory
don't know at the end of every dock there's a big ramp
because I was it just it really it's just gonna go down the
dock
hill.
Ramps it's dock ramps
dock ramps
it's the dock ramps
dock
you know
ramp.
All docks have
that.
Ramps that's the dock
yeah.
ramp
dock ramp
I'm gonna
of course.
Be, I'm gonna be worried that that car is gonna hit the water and I'm gonna hit the top of that car and I'm gonna be unconscious
right.
and I'm gonna drown in
yeah
that
yeah
car.
I'd be worried about the same
okay.
thing
I'm gonna,
if you're,
I'm gonna
if
bail
smart,
out onto
wait a
that
minute.
Picnic
maybe.
I think you would actually get slammed forward.
Yes.
I mean, the ramp would throw you up a little bit, but the impact on the water, the car's going to come to a stop. But,
right.
But you're going to jam into that or the lack of steering.
But the wheel's gone, so I'm going to hit that thing that the wheel... I'm going to...
That's probably even more dangerous. I think it's a combination
you're
of
right.
both theories here. I think you jump out right at the moment that the car's in the air,
okay.
so
like
you can
a
land
stunt.
In the water.
There you go.
Stunt
you splash
guy.
Next to the car.
Yes.
Very good.
That's the move. That's what he should have done.
He should have just banged harder into that swing set, and the swing set would have stopped the car instead
oh,
of just like
point.
Taking the swing set
yeah.
out and keep driving.
Idiot.
Or another couple picnicking.
Yeah.
Just something to slow you down
yeah.
the momentum
Anything.
A little bit.
Like, clearly you have no regard for human or animal life. You're the villain. So just like hit things, slow the car down.
Yeah, that was
schmuck.
A great villain.
He was
the
a,
clown industry was not happy with that, by the
no,
way.
No, I'm sure. Sure, yeah, not so much.
Bad PR.
Guys, this has been an absolute delight. We are running short on time, but we do a promotional segment here at the end. Is there stuff people should know about? Are you guys, I'm sure you're performing sometime soon. Obviously,
oh.
people should listen to Off Book. It's an unbelievable podcast.
Yeah, Off Book, the improvised musical. Me and my creative partner, Jessica McKenna, make up a musical on the fly with a pianist in studio.
It's the best.
Ethan's been on it.
That is impressive.
Oh, hey, they're unbelievable.
Hey, thanks. Some of us save the lives of animals and sort of like work to make the world a better place. Some of us make up musicals.
You're preserving art.
That's
Thank
right.
You.
Improv musicals is a dying art form.
Yeah.
And
yeah. so, yeah.
You know, you're keeping it alive.
Hey, thanks. I mean, I got no shame in it. I love what I do. So that's
you.
Off Book, the improvised musical.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys do live shows and people need to come see that in action
yeah,
in their
sure,
face.
Sure, sure. You can always check out the zackandthejess.com/live. That will have all of our sort of latest tour dates.
Boom. There
which
it is.
Which there are none right now. So just chill. Just calm down.
Well, you guys
just
did
wait.
Dates.
Just wait. Just yeah. guys.
Jesus.
Just give me a second.
Stop.
Just like
yelling.
Let me hang at home with my cats. Calm down.
Oh my
Thank
God.
You.
They need you. Magellan. Doc?
Yeah, I mean, you can scope out Evan Goes Wild. It's on Animal Planet Go app, and then it's still airing in some other countries, but it's not airing in the U.S. anymore on cable.
Okay.
And then yeah, you can keep up with my work and my travels around the world. I work with wildlife all over the place. Like I said, I just got back from Uganda doing that giraffe translocation work, and you can see a lot of that on my Instagram at dr.evananton, Dr. Evan Anton.
Great.
Same stuff on Facebook, and yeah.
Cool. Have you seen the musical After Your Name?
Oh, Dear Evan Hansen?
Oh, boy. got a great soundtrack.
Okay, I haven't seen that either.
Guys, Dear Evan Hansen, it's on Spotify. Give it a listen.
People always think I say Hansen when I say my name, Anton.
Anton.
Yeah, they always think me. I say Hansen. I always say Evan Anton. They're like, Kevin Hansen? I was like, yes.
We all in our head are just dreaming of that boy. Kevin Hansen.
Where is he? Okay, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. I had a great time. See you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bad Science is hosted and produced by me, Ethan Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Emily Feld. Our editor is Lucas Bollinger.
And the executive pro Doberman Pinscher is Brett Kushner.
Follow us on Instagram at Bad Science Show. That's at Bad Science Show. Or feel free to send us an email, badscience@seeker.com. That's badscience@seeker.com. Let us know what you think about the show, any movies we should do in the future. I always appreciate getting your emails. And of course, leave us an iTunes review. That lets other people hear about the show. And I'll see you all next week. Bye.